It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team I work with as producer Steve, producer Luke, Zach, Patty, Keith, Echo, Charlie, all of the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday.
Yes, let's be emphatic there. Tuesday, not Monday. Right. Tuesday, May 30th.
Yesterday was Memorial Day, and I saw a lot of people that were stopping to just think about the sacrifice of those that gave their lives for us, for our country. And so I love this whole week. It's my birthday weekend. Thank you to all of you who also sent me birthday wishes. I greatly appreciate it. I'm 29 again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, moving on.
Check out our website, and that is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. We rolled the one out Alan Thomas just recently had written regarding what progressives get right. It's very thought-provoking. So check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. My friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, their freedom, livelihood, opportunity, or lives via force. Force can be a weapon, but we see it with policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, and, of course, the World Economic Forum globalist elites agenda that they're working diligently to play out. Producer Steve. Let's get over here to our quote for the day. I chose this from Abraham Lincoln. And then as I was looking at it, there are those that said, oh, he didn't say it. We'll say it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. He says, you cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. And it sounds like something that Lincoln would say, Steve.
It does. And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't try, is what some would say, or at least it seems to be their goal.
Well, you think about it. There are those inside America and outside America that are trying to bring America down, that only focus on the faults, the challenges that we've had, instead of the whole story of this idea that America was founded on. And when we talk about conservatives, we talk about people that want to conserve this idea that all men are created equal, with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is worth conserving and preserving. And that is the vision of America. No other society ever, ever, ever was founded on this idea. And when you have individual freedom, what could happen? Well, America could happen, where we'd have regular, everyday people that get to thrive and flourish because of freedom. And of course, that freedom is because of those that we thought about yesterday, that gave their last full measure of devotion for us. And that's certainly, it's important that we continue to talk about this because it's getting lost. I spent some time with young people this weekend, Steve, some different graduation activities. And first of all, I'm struck by the hope and the excitement of a lot of these young people, and I'm also concerned about the world that we're passing on to them, and that's why we do this show, and we do this show to inform you about these issues and to help you get your brain around them, so that we can start to engage in thoughtful, reasonable, and rational conversations. Because we are in a battle of ideas for a country. And again, this was attributed to Stalin. Stalin said we would not let our enemies have guns or let's see, ideas are more powerful than guns. We would not let our enemies have guns. Why would we let them have ideas? And that's why this show and these shows across America are so important, to help you get your brain around this, so that we have got to get out of our echo chamber. I ended up in this very interesting conversation with a recent graduate, a philosophy graduate, and it was just super interesting. I don't know what else to say, but it was super interesting, Steve.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm just down the line enough to be able to say I can see into that. You said philosophy major?
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be rather full of themselves of being a recent graduate and with their philosophy major. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to smack you down. I mean, basically, I'm going to come out on top of this discussion. Do they really have the life's experiences to back up that philosophy major?
Don't you think that's not only with philosophy majors, though? I think that's kind of the hope of the new graduates as well, because they haven't been out in the life experiences yet. And
the old adage, you don't know what you don't know, which sounds like double talk. But I mean, the more I hang around this planet, the more that tends to be so true.
I know. So it was just very, very interesting. But I want to get over to another thing another young person had brought up, and that is on this whole transgender thing. So we're going to get to that here in just a moment. But I chose the word for the day from, it was in Alan Thomas's essay, and it was dither. I think he used dithering. But it's a state of indecisive agitation, a trembling vibration, the state of being undecided. So I will use it in a sentence. Congress seems to dither around on the important issues that are facing Americans today. How's that?
Yeah, that's a great usage, and certainly explains what they do, and the reasons behind why they do it is their indecision. Because of the whole nature of politics is like, well, I can't necessarily do the smart thing because, it might be, or the thing that's best for the country, because it might limit my career or cut my career short.
Yes. And so that's where we have politicians instead of statesmen. And
good point.
Yeah, that is a real problem here. Okay, let's talk about Target. Target apparently has lost, what did we say, $10 billion in market capital over the last couple of weeks. Is that right, Steve? Am I getting to that correctly here?
In terms of market capitalization, I don't know how to express that. I did look at the stock price. The most recent high was in February, $181 a share, now down to $138 a share as of this past Friday. So that's a market. It's coming up on $50 a share.
Right. Now, my understanding is the way they would determine market capitalization is they would take the share price times the number of shares out there, and that would be the market capitalization. So when they've lost $10 billion, you're reflecting that in the stock price. That would be taking that stock price toward and multiplying that by the number of shares that are out there. And that's pretty significant. Now, we saw with Silicon Valley Bank, which they were all over these woke policies, and a variety of things happened. They got caught with interest rate risk, and then also they were, at that particular point in time, then they needed to honor deposits that were being withdrawn, so they got caught on things. But also, they'd taken their eye off the ball, and were pushing all of this woke stuff instead of taking care of the business that they were supposed to be taking care of. And the same with Target. I've got to think that there's going to be some heads that roll. The chairman of the board, the CEO, I think, all reports show that he doubled down on this whole woke agenda. But no matter if you have an R or a D or where you fall on that, if you are looking for a return on your investment and it is down so significantly. The board of directors has a responsibility to the shareholders to do something about this, because they are certainly not maximizing the business or the opportunity for the business. And I got to think that most people, no matter what your describer is, RD, unaffiliated, libertarian, don't like to lose money like that, Steve.
Well, I had this thought last Friday when Alan Thomas was here and you guys were talking about it. And obviously, this was a big subject yesterday in our family gathering between the, you know, the conservative-minded son-in-law and nephew. Go back to 2016. Hillary Clinton got up and said, you know, all Donald Trump supporters are a basketful of deplorables. Now, what did she do by making that statement?
Dividing the country.
In a country that it was divided as we were in 2016, she basically, you know, punched half of the country right in the nose. Now, roll that over to the business aspect, you know, of this country, and saying now this trend of being so woke in companies and dictating to the public, the people who consume your products and goods and services that you put out there, and you tell them what they should think. I equate the two, because you're bound to get people agitated.
Well, I was talking to some other young people this weekend, and it's like, why can't we just go to a baseball game without all of the, for example, the LA Dodgers have stepped in it as well.
Oh my gosh.
Because not only did they have a drag queen show, but it was also really a direct affront against the Catholic faith. And it's like, really? You want to offend all of those people? And what's really interesting to me is these drag queens that have full beards and mustaches. I'm like, well, that's a little interesting. But I want to address this, because a young person has said, Kim, and this is via somebody else, I feel that you're marginalizing individuals. And we need to, as we are talking about this, my friends, is realize that there are, and many young people, because this whole transgender thing has been somewhat effective. So a lot of young people know a friend that at this point in time may think that they're trans. And when we are hitting this issue so hard, sometimes I think what they hear is that you are trying to marginalize my friend. And you and I talked about it in the pre-call, that this transgender movement that we are seeing now is targeted towards children. I have a lot of libertarian tendencies, and that is I don't like to get in other people's business, and I don't want other people in my business. But this whole trans thing is gone from adults doing what they are choosing to over here, using education and business and media and culture to groom our children to be victims. And to recruit our children to be victims of adult sexual advances. And we need to explain that that is what is not okay, Steve.
Well, I told you, again, this is how they blur the lines, I guess. There's a meme on Facebook. It's a block picture of about, I don't know, say 15, 18 different situations where either males were playing female roles or females were playing male roles. And it says, and now case in point, like Mrs. Doubtfire, which was
Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman was Tootsie.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. So there's Mrs. Doubtfire. There's Tootsie. Klinger, of all people. Again, 15 examples. And the main point that's trying to be made here is you've been entertained by drag your whole life. Don't pretend it's a problem now. And I look at every one of those pictures and say, wait a minute, not a one of those was going after children, trying to influence children, or, you know, do things emotionally or even physically. Not a one of them.
Right. And that's where we have to explain And I want to talk some more about this here in just a moment. But that's where we have to really explain what is going on and call it out for what that is there. And we have these important conversations because of our sponsors. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is one of those great sponsors. And Roger knows that life can be challenging. And it is his team's mission to maximize your financial security as you manage this risk of everyday life. Call the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team at 303-795-8855 for more information. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubbservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubbservices.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. My friends, we have a responsibility that we protect those that we are entrusted to protect, and that is our children. Children, obviously, in our families, children of our communities, children of the world. The idea that these open borders, that children are coming across the border, and this government doesn't even know where they are. It's like, honestly, the IRS, if you don't pay every dime that they think that you need to pay, they'll find you. They'll know where you are. But how on earth can 85,000 kids be missing that have come across the border? Some of them are being sex trafficked. Some of them are being working, maybe close to slave labor. Right here in 2023 America, for everyone that wants to go back in our history and talk about the founders and slavery, yes, there was slavery at that time. Slavery was prevalent throughout the world. Name me one other country that went to war within 70 plus years and shed the blood of 620,000 people to determine whether or not we would have slavery in this country. Hey, you can't name one, right? And so those that want to go down, the reason that they go back is because they want to discredit this founding. The founding that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Where the heck are they regarding those 85,000 children that have come across the border? If we're really serious about having slavery talks, let's find out where they are. But so I would just, again, this is a difficult thing. This is a minefield. And we've seen it before, but this minefield on this whole transgender thing. And for adult people to do what they want to do, it's not my business. But where we're at is not only do they want to make it my business, but they want me to affirm that. And that's not okay. But then the other component of this is the grooming and recruiting of children by this drag agenda. So those that have friends that are transgender individuals, love them, get that. But regarding an agenda, this has got to be stopped. And so with Target stepping in it, the LA Dodgers stepping in it, people are saying, wait a minute, this is not something that we need to be, that we need to have you know, grooming our children for. And these drag queen shows, I mean, honestly, I don't know who would take their kids to that. You don't take your kids to strip shows, do you? So, but I think the fact that they've been in like the Douglas County Fairgrounds or the recreation centers, libraries, that is trying to mainline it or mainstream that. And then parents may not even understand, but this, what these drag shows are, is they are trying to groom children. And grooming children for sexual victimhood is not okay. Have I pretty well nailed it, Steve, or do I sound like I've... Because I really wanted to work hard on that this weekend.
You sound like a concerned grandmother, is what you sound like. And I get it, because I feel the same way. And I think you mentioned in the pre-call, talking about a grandson who has so far been, you know, in a Christian preschool environment, but looks like he's, you know, they haven't been able to work out a way to continue that. That in another couple of months he'll be headed to public school, and you see the look in his parents' eyes. Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Okay, hold on here. We've got this from one of our listeners. Marginalizing wrong. It's the transgenders that are on the attack, not the conservatives. They are simply holding the line on what is tolerable. Going after our children crosses the line. The wicked always accuse us of that which they are guilty of, and they use this technique all the time. That is true. And that's why we've got to be so clear on what this issue is. And the issue is the going after our kids, I think, Steve.
Well, I was sitting around after the fact yesterday and trying to step through all this and saying, if you could just be patient to say that when this young person grows up, reaches the age of accountability, you know, an adulthood, and they make that decision for themselves, fine. You know, isn't that what the country is all about? But again, you're plumbing the depths of childhood and trying to plant these seeds, and it's just, it's sinister.
And it is. And that's the other thing is these little kiddos, they can't unsee what they've seen. And again, those that are pushing this agenda, they know what they're doing about that. I'm going to change gears just a little bit and go over to this Jane Fonda. She has finally figured out the root of climate change. And you know what? It is not natural occurring hydrocarbons, Steve.
It's not? Well, what else? What could it be?
What on earth could it be?
Oh. But we know Jane is the font of all wisdom. So please tell us what she said.
Let's see. This has been on a number of different news articles, but she says Jane Fonda is blaming white men for climate crisis and calls to arrest and jail them. Oh boy, she's something else, isn't she?
Her credibility, you know, I just think back to her foray into what even compelled her to go over to Vietnam at the height of what was happening there in the 60s. And do what she did. And
right, she climbed North Vietnam, climbed on a, I think, an anti-aircraft
gun. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to be there and give them that credit, you know, I don't know. Well, she's made hundreds of thousands of enemies for life just by doing that. But obviously, she has no real solid foundation and grip of what's happening, and she won't stop. Right. Now, here is she, what, in her 80s now?
I think so. So she said this. This is from a Fox News article, but it's on other news outlets as well. Jane Fonda blamed men and racism for climate change during a conversation at this year's Cannes Film Festival, arguing that without the patriarchy, the crisis allegedly of epic proportions would cease to exist. This is serious, she said Saturday. We've got about 7-8 years to cut ourselves in half of what we use of fossil fuels. And unfortunately, the people that have the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. Global South, people on islands, poor people of color. It is a tragedy that we have to absolutely stop. We have to arrest and jail those men. They're all men behind this. Man, sounds like she's got a problem. But I guess we knew that.
Yeah, it's been around for decades now. So, but again, why does the media even flock to her to hear her latest, you know?
Well, and I just very quickly, I'd seen Let's see, at least 11 killed, 44 wounded in deadliest Memorial Day weekend since 2015. That was reported 9 hours ago by the Chicago Sun Tribune. Sounds to me like there's people of color that are really struggling in Chicago. And how is it that that's not considered a mass shooting? 11 people died this last weekend. And did you hear anything about that, Steve?
I did on the way in this morning, and I'm asking the same questions you are. Okay, there was an election a couple months ago, and then a runoff, and we have a new mayor in Chicago, but it seems to be the same old thing. Nothing has really changed.
Mm-hmm. And again, if we are really serious about caring about people, we would have an honest conversation about this. So why is she going after white men when she should go over to China and India, because they're building coal-fired plants like crazy? So it seems like she should be over there maybe talking to the Chinese CCP and maybe saying they should be in jail because they are polluting the earth. What do you think?
Well, that level of engagement, I think, is beyond her. She wouldn't know, even if she had the opportunity, she wouldn't know what to say. They would expose her, I guess, for the fraud she really is.
Yeah. And that she is. And to your point, I'm not quite sure why people are still paying attention. Let's see. We talked Target. And again, we need to make clear that we in America, because of freedom, people should have the freedom to choose what they want to do. And they need to be responsible for those decisions. And they get to reap the benefits of those decisions or the consequences of those decisions. That's adults. But over here, targeting children, isn't that funny? Targeting children is not okay. Now it's a two-edged sword, as we use the word target. But those are, I think, the things that I really wanted to hit. Let me just make sure that I'm not missing anything right now.
Well, a personal thing, note regarding Target. 12, 15 years ago, they basically, you're familiar with the Salvation Army bell ringers at as we approach Christmas every year?
Yeah.
They banned the Salvation Army bell ringers at their stores about 12, 15 years ago.
And several years ago, they had, I think, let men go into women's bathrooms as well. This is also marginalizing women. Oh, my gosh. We've seen the canceling of women with this whole transgender movement as well, but that's a whole nother conversation. We're going to be talking with Tristan Justice with The Federalist here in just a moment. And this is an important conversation, which we'll probably talk with Trent Luce about it on Wednesday as well, and that is the Biden administration is going to be locking up, it looks like, more and more Bureau of Land Management land, all this without even talking to Congress about it. It's a very important conversation. So we'll have that in just a moment. We get to do that because of sponsors like Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Pain can be exhausting and frustrating, and Kim was recently experiencing hip pain from life's wear and tear. Dr. Craig Stimson with Advantage Wellness Center was able to help. For over 35 years, Dr. Craig Stimson has been helping individuals and their entire families with non-surgical and drugless treatments to address sports injuries, back and neck pain, headaches, joint pain, and auto accident injuries. Call Dr. Craig at 303-691-1771 today for your appointment. Dr. Craig Stimson, he can help you too. That number is 303-691-1771.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do it. And check out the USMC Memorial Foundation.org website. They continue to do all kinds of important events. They had a very special event for Memorial Day out at the memorial at 6th and Colfax. They are diligently working to raise the money for the remodel. And you can help them by going to USMCMemorialFoundation.org. That is USMCMemorialFoundation.org. And just a quick question. We talked about Jane Fonda at the Cannes Film Festival, saying that white men are responsible for climate change. I was just wondering what sailboat she took to get over to France for that film festival, Steve. What do you think?
Oh, now you're really digging deep, and good, because I dare say, I mean, you can guarantee, okay, she didn't take a sailboat, she didn't take a cruise liner, she flew.
Right.
Maybe it was, Al Gore's
electric jet.
Yeah, that's it.
And the extension cord, though, it's not long enough to get to France right now. Okay, let's change subjects, though. We have Tristan Justice on the line with us. And Tristan is the, he is the Western correspondent for The Federalist and the author of Social Justice Redo, a conservative newsletter on culture, health, and wellness. Tristan Justice, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
This piece that you've recently written regarding Biden and the BLM, it's titled, here we go, New BLM Rules on Conservation Leases Will Fundamentally Transform Public Land Management. Now, Biden had come out and said that that his goal was to take an additional 30% of land in America and I guess maintain federal control over that or something along that line. This looks like this would be a step in that direction. So help me out on that, Tristan.
Right. So several months ago, the Bureau of Land Management proposed a sweeping new public lands rule that essentially establishes conservation leases. And what this rule does is it elevates conservation on par with other uses of federal public lands, such as mining, grazing, and all these other uses that the Bureau of Land Management leases out parcels of land for. And so, but if you read the fine text of the rule, it doesn't elevate conservation to be on par with uses such as mining and grazing. It actually prioritizes conservation over uses like grazing and mining. And so, if you read the fine text of the rule, it's actually going to allow it's going to require officials with the Bureau to prioritize, you know, deep-pocketed NGOs over, you know, the local rancher who's been using the land for decades now. It's going to prioritize deep-pocketed NGOs that want to now lock off, you know, millions of acres of public land for conservation. And of course, that threatens to undermine longstanding multiple-use mandate that Congress outlined in 1976.
So, Tristan, there are those that hear the word conservation, and I think that to them that means that the public will have all kinds of access to hiking and camping, things like that. Is that what conservation means?
Well, I take it to mean non-use at some point. And so the Bureau of Land Management, which manages 245 million acres, more than 90% of which lies across the 12 western states, is mandated by Congress in 1976, the Federal Land Policy Management Act, to find the maximum use of public lands. And so, but if we're cutting off millions of acres of public lands for conservation, you can't really do anything else on these lands that are being quote unquote conserved. And I mean, environmentalists, you know, they must love recreation, but at the same time, it depends on what kind of recreation. Because there's a lot of environmentalists who don't like ski resorts a whole lot. And so I think the threat that a lot of people see in these rules is that it doesn't mean multiple use, it means non-use. And, of course, it's being done entirely by going around Congress and circumventing the rules that they put in place for the agency.
So how is this happening exactly? Is there an executive order? Is it just through rulemaking, through the BLM? Or how's that working?
Well, this is being done through the bureaucratic rulemaking process. So it's completely circumventing Congress. A lot of people are calling the rules unconstitutional because of that. So they're completely circumventing Congress by going through the bureaucratic rulemaking process. It's not even being done by an executive order. So the Bureau of Land Management is coming out with these rules, and they're coming out with five public hearings to take public comment on them. Now, each hearing is only 2 hours, so, you know, 10 hours of public comment period over 75 days for rules that are going to fundamentally change how public lands are managed in this country. Only three of those meetings are in person, and they're all in urban metropolitan centers in Reno, Albuquerque, and Denver. They're not even in Idaho, Montana, Washington State, or Utah, or even the Western headquarters in Grand Junction. They're placed in urban, big blue metropolitan centers, hours away from the ranchers who are going to be impacted by this.
So what does this mean for ranchers that have been grazing their cattle on this Bureau of Land Management land?
Well, the rules as they read now, they maintain protections for existing leases, but those leases are not indefinite. So a rancher who's been ranching on public land by the Bureau of Land Management, once that lease is up, they run the risk of some deep-pocketed NGO from Portland coming in and saying, no, we want to conserve that land using conservation lease, and outbidding the rancher down the street who's been using that land for decades now. And so ranchers should be concerned about this. But of course, what I've been finding in this reporting in the last few weeks that I've been covering this is that not a lot of ranchers even know about these new rules because, you know, while people who work for big environmental NGOs are still behind a computer all day, ranchers are out ranching.
Right, so raising food for people to eat.
Exactly. And so a lot of ranchers don't even know about the current threat to their livelihood.
So why is the Biden, Obama-ets, Biden-ets, all of these, why are they doing this? Is it because of pressure from these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations?
Well, I think a lot of it is pressure, and I think a lot of it is the Biden administration is scrambling to meet the 30 by 30 goal that they set out several years ago. The Biden administration has been very clear. They want to lock off 30% of the nation's land and waterways by the year 2030 from any sort of development. And so I think in order to get to such a number, these dramatic new rules coming out of the Bureau of Land Management is going to become a primary vehicle of that. And so I don't think you can reach 30 by 30 without some radical shift in public land management. And so this is becoming a convenient tool where the Biden administration is going to co-opt with deep pocket NGOs from Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, New York, to then lock off millions of acres from any sort of development.
Well, and Tristan, these NGOs, many times they are quote-unquote nonprofits. Doesn't mean that they're not making money, but they don't have to pay taxes. But also these NGOs, these very wealthy people that contribute to them, if it is a nonprofit, they get a tax write-off for contributing to them as well, yes?
Right. I mean, it's almost like you hear about charities where you have executives of these charities racing in to take your salaries, right? It might be nonprofit or tax exempt, but doesn't mean they're not making tons of money off this. So, of course, you know, the big green environmental industry has gotten really smart at how to maneuver the system and how to maximize ways to circumvent the democratic process to achieve their preferred policy outcomes. That includes sue and settle, which is where environmental groups would sue over a particular action that it was opposed to, and then settle with allies in the government for the preferred policy outcome anyway. So you have sue and settle cases, and now you have the bureaucratic rulemaking process under a friendly administration. And Tracy Stove Manning, of course, comes from this environment of radical environmentalism. She's the director of the Bureau of Land Management. Her nomination 2 years ago was controversial because she had thought she was an eco-terrorist in the early 1990s. And she was less than forthcoming about her true role in the entire ordeal up in Idaho when she was an activist up there. And Democrats at the time were saying, well, Republicans are focusing on her actions from 30 years ago. Republicans pointed out her 1992 thesis, where she talks about children as environmental hazards and advocates Chinese-style child care for the sake of the environment. And in her 1992 thesis, she talked about how she wanted to ban public grazing. And 30 years later, as the director of the nation's preeminent land agency, she's following through on the very playbook that she outlined for everyone from 1992. And so Republicans are right to call that out. And it really should come as no surprise from this person who spelled out what she was going to do in her graduate thesis.
Well, Tristan, you said that there's going to be, I think, a total of 10 hours of testimony, public testimony on this. A lot of people, as you mentioned, they don't even know this is coming down the pike. But the reason they do this, I would say just this obligatory public hearings is so that they can say, oh, we had public hearings. But they don't really want to hear what the people have to say about this. But they want to say, oh, we had public hearings and this is where we're going with it. How do you think this is going to affect everyday people? I realize people would like to just live and let live. I think they're starting to understand more and more that public policy is not only increasing prices at the grocery store, but these kinds of policies could start to create shortages of food. Of course, these we hear NGOs that are trying to push people to eat bugs. I'm wondering if they would harvest bugs. I'm just being facetious, but harvest bugs off of this Bureau of Land Management land. How do you think this is going to play out for everyday people that just want to live their lives?
Well, I think your everyday life for the average metropolitan elite is not going to change a whole lot. They might pay a little more for food in the grocery store years down the line as these rules are totally implemented and ranches are cut off from public land access. But for everyday people out in the country, these rules are going to radically change, especially the Western way of life. The open range only lasted 20 years, and for the past century or so, ranchers have been lucky to even be ranching, considering the attacks on the industry by now. And so these land rules are going to threaten to put ranchers out of business because there are ranches that exist in the West because they're able to graze on public land. You take away that access, you're going to have ranches that are not economical anymore. And I still think there's, depending on how far the NGOs are able to push ranchers off public land, I think it's going to impact the nation's health. You know, grass-fed organic beef is one of the most healthy options for Americans to turn to, as opposed to the factory farm meat that they're buying off the shelves in grocery stores that are laced with excess antibiotics and pesticides. And so I just think, you know, healthy lands make healthy hearts. And there's this assumption among radical environmentalists that ranchers are inherently toxic to land, when in reality, you know, ranchers were the original conservationists. And so you take out the rancher, you're going to harm the land, you're going to harm conservation efforts, and you're going to harm healthy options for food at the table. And so it's really a trifecta of problems, and that's how it's going to affect the everyday American, whether they're in the city or not.
Wow. So I want to continue the conversation. You can find Tristan Justice at The Federalist, and he has been writing a number of pieces about the Bureau of Land Management and the Biden administration, and I would highly recommend that you check that out. And we get to do this because we have so many great sponsors. Another one of those great sponsors is Roots Medical.
Hey folks, Matthew Dark here with exciting news about COVID justice and how you can be involved in this critical moment in history. Colorado Healthcare Providers for Freedom, in conjunction with COVIDPenalty.com, is leading the way in protecting everyone's legal right to refuse an investigational new drug. There is no law that can force you to participate in medical research, and we need your help in bringing these lawsuits to fruition. To donate and view impending lawsuits, visit ColoradoMedicalFreedom.com. That's ColoradoMedicalFreedom.com.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
And family, in light of high crime and uncertain times, you need to go to Franktown Firearms. As a family-owned and family-friendly gun store and range, Franktown Firearms invites you to train and learn together. They want you and your family to be safe and confident in using the firearms you purchase. And while most ranges will teach you to shoot down a straight line, Franktown offers a more tactical approach, where you're walking, ducking, drawing, in more realistic scenarios, and always with safety as a top priority. Training your family to defend themselves is an important process. You need a patient and experienced trainer to work with. Franktown Firearms offers group classes, one-on-one training, and special shooting events like Tactical Fun Night to improve your skill and have fun while you're at it. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown and schedule your family's training today. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for a weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And did want to mention the Center for American Values. They are located right here in Pueblo, Colorado, and they were formed in 2010 for charitable and educational purposes. It was founded by U.S. Army Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix and Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker Brad Padula. And Drew and Brad identified the need for a national initiative to recognize and preserve the values our great country was founded on. It is located in Pueblo, Colorado, on the historic Arkansas Riverwalk. They're open daily, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., free admission. And the website is AmericanValuesCenter.org. On the line with me is Tristan Justice. He is the Western correspondent for The Federalist and the author of Social Justice Redo, a conservative newsletter for on culture, health, and wellness. And you can find him at The Federalist. Tristan, you had written a piece at the end of last week regarding the Supreme Court decision. It says, Supreme Court strikes another blow to administrative state, narrows the Clean Water Act. This is a pretty big deal, yes?
Right. This is another massive case to hit the EPA and really take a hammer to the administrative state from the Supreme Court in the last year now. And so after the Supreme Court ruled last year in the case of EPA versus West Virginia, narrowing agency authority to circumvent Congress and implement these broad sweeping agenda items, the Supreme Court issued another ruling this last week, narrowing EPA authority over the Clean Water Act. And so for years, the EPA and environmental regulators have abused the Clean Water Act to shut down projects they simply didn't like. There's a case in Idaho that this case came from where this family, in 2004, about 20 Jeez. Years ago now, bought this property near, I think it's called Priest Lake, the waterway that's protected under the Clean Water Act. The property is not on the lake. The property is near a ditch that's near a creek that flows into the lake, and yet the Clean Water Act, environmental regulators were abusing the Clean Water Act to claim that construction on their property was illegal under environmental standards, and they shut down the project. It's been 20 years now, and the family is now able to do full construction on their home. But for years, the environmental regulators have been abusing the act to declare ponds and puddles in American's backyard as federally protected waterways, and the Supreme Court finally came in and said, no, you can't do that, and created a definition for waterways that are protected under the Clean Water Act, and that includes a continuous surface area.
But it was not a unanimous decision. It was a 5-4, correct?
It was a 5-4 decision on the merits of the Clean Water Act and the scope of the EPA's authority to regulate waterways pursuant to the Act and what kind of waterways they can regulate. But on the merits of the Sackett family, the court was unanimous that the family couldn't be gone with construction on their property.
Okay. So what about, this makes me think about the topic we're talking about in the previous segment regarding the BLM locking up much of the BLM acreage and not allowing grazing. Do you think that will become a court case?
Well, it'll absolutely end up in the courts. And I think the rule as it stands, I think this last Supreme Court ruling, the last two Supreme Court rulings on environmental regulations, including just rulings to the Sackett versus EPA last week and EPA versus West Virginia, I think the Supreme Court's been very clear that government agencies can't implement such broad sweeping rule changes while going around Congress to do it. I think these two rulings show a certain Supreme Court that has little appetite to allow the federal agencies to go around Congress with rule changes. They're going to fundamentally change major areas of public policy in this country.
I do find it disturbing, though, that there is it's a 5-4 decision and not a 9-0 decision.
Right, and thankfully for the Sackett family, I know the Supreme Court really clearly saw the absurdity in the EPA going so far off script to shut down a simple housing project. But no, I mean, nothing is a sure thing on the Supreme Court. The chairs have had a rude busting in that with this bench for the past few years, even after Trump appointed three justices. Justice Brett Kavanaugh was the one conservative on the court who joined the minority and claimed the EPA has broader authority than the Constitution really allows to implement to enforce the Clean Water Act. And so nothing's a sure thing at the Supreme Court, but I still think two back-to-back rulings is a good sign for Americans who want the EPA administrators who are unelected off their back.
Well, I think that's true, but it seems to me, though, that it's like these different bureaucracies are like, oh, we know this is, this may go to courts, we may lose, but we're going to try it anyway. I mean, I feel there's kind of this real cavalier attitude towards the people and towards the law. What do you think?
Well, you just described the Biden administration. The Biden administration approaches these issues. I think we have an administration that, quite honestly, doesn't care about the Supreme Court and the rule of law, and that they're going to push forward proposals, executive orders, and legislative actions that they know are unconstitutional, but they're going to go for it anyway, if nothing else, that might ignite a legal challenge. I mean, we're talking about an administration that tried to force a vaccine mandate down every American to be able to go to work. It's the same administration that's been trying to unilaterally quote-unquote cancel student loans for millions of Americans. And so I think we have an administration that it just flat out doesn't care.
Boy, that's a very scary place for us to be. One other piece that you've just written that people can find at the Federalist Tristan Justice is that New York City mayor is making obesity a protected class. What's wrong with that idea?
Right. So the New York City Mayor Eric Adams has now signed into law protections for obese New Yorkers from any kind of discrimination, from access to public housing to employment. And the clear problem with this law is that if there's a job with physical demand, employers can't discriminate against people who are obese. And the thing about this is, there's clearly a correlation between being obese and being able to meet the physical demands of your employment, and so this has been something that's been coming in the pipeline for decades now. Liberals have been speaking about obesity as its own protected class for decades now, cloaking it in the language of social justice. You hear about them talk about a fatphobic society that is oppressing obese people, when in reality, this is just a new class that they're trying to put on the victim hierarchy under the left-wing complex of social justice. no one should be fat shamed. I'm all for body positivity, but there comes a point, there's a limit to this, right? And now New York City is trying to put obese people under protection of law on that social justice hierarchy that's been in construction for decades now.
So if somebody is not hired, and it may not be because they of their height or their weight, but because of the merit of the job, this seems like this could open up potential employers to lawsuits. Yes,
this is a litigation attorney's dream because, as you just thought out, someone could be either not hired or potentially terminated for reasons that have nothing to do with their weight. But because this has become a new protected class under New York law, someone who's been terminated from their job can claim that they were discriminated against on their weight. And the case would be investigated by the New York City Commission on Human Rights now. And so this is becoming a human rights thing under local law in New York City. And I don't think it's going to stop at New York City. I think this is going to go nationwide. And I think it shows a radical departure from 10 years ago when the mayor of New York City was implementing a ban on sugary sodas, not just sugary sodas, the big gulp sodas. Remember Michael Bloomberg's
right.
ban? He wasn't banning sugary sodas outright. He was banning these, 72-ounce, 80-ounce drinks, which are just ridiculous. Considering the direction of this country, we need proposals like that. We need proposals like soda taxes and bans on these massive drinks, considering that we have such an epidemic today that's at the root of every single healthcare crisis in this country that is so far unsustainable that no matter how many healthcare reforms we put in, from Obamacare to whatever the Biden administration is trying to do now, healthcare is going to remain the single most important issue in every presidential election because Americans aren't healthy to begin with.
Well, and we each have a responsibility. I think the whole COVID thing made me realize we each need to be proactive regarding our own health. We need to take responsibility for that. And that's really the American thing to do. Tristan Justice, just a wealth of information. And I would highly recommend you check Tristan Justice out at thefederalist.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Our quote for the end of the show is from Abraham Lincoln. He said, "You must remember that some things legally right are not morally right." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Their guests and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.